Title: Kick in Some Pocket from Scratch for Modern Control with Vintage Tone Advanced. Alright, let's build the low end the way modern drum and bass actually survives a loud mix. The kick and sub don't share the low end at the same time. They take turns. That taking turns is the pocket. And we're going to build it from scratch in Ableton Live so it's repeatable, loud, clean, and still has that older tape-ish. Dubby, wait, settle in. Because this is one of those skills that upgrades everything else you do in DNB. First, quick session setup so you don't fight Ableton while you're trying to make grown-up low-end. Set your tempo somewhere in the 172 to 176 range. I'll think 174 in my head. Now headroom. Keep your master peaking around minus 6 dB while we build. Low-end design gets deceptive fast. And if you're already slamming the master, you will make bad decisions without realizing it. If you're using sampled kicks, enable warp. But don't get fancy with warp algorithms on low-end. Avoid Complex Pro for kicks. If you have to warp, Beats mode usually preserves the transient in a more predictable way. The goal is not perfect time stretch, it's solid punch. Now we build the kick, and the mindset is important. We're designing a kick that leaves room, not a kick that tries to be the entire low end by itself. Create an audio track called Kick. We're going to use a stock first chain, EQ8, drum bus, saturator, clue compressor, utility. Choose a kick sample that has a short low tail. You want a clear transient, and a fundamental somewhere around 45 to 60 Hz depending on the key and the vibe. If you're not sure, don't overthink it yet. Choose something tight and confident. A kick that notes out forever is the number one way to sabotage the pocket, because it overlaps the sub, whether you like it or not. Start with EQ8 on the kick. Put a gentle high pass at about 25 to 30 Hz, 24 dB per octave. This is not about thinning the kick. It's about deleting useless rumble that steals headroom and makes limiters do dumb stuff later. Now find the fundamental. Make a bell filter and sweep somewhere around 45 to 70 Hz while the kick is looping. When you land on the fundamental, you'll feel the kick suddenly sit down into the floor. Here's the advanced decision. If that fundamental feels too note wide, like it's trying to sing a bass note, reduce it maybe 2 to 3 dB with a medium Q. If the kick lacks weight, you can boost 1 to 2 dB. But keep it modest. In DNB, a little goes a long way down there. Next, give the kick some body that reads on smaller systems. Add a bell boost in the 120 to 220 Hz range, maybe 1 to 3 dB. This is the knock zone. It's also where you can create vintage chest thump without relying on sub energy. Then check for boxiness. If the kick clouds the snare or makes the groove feel cardboardy, cut around 250 to 450 Hz by 2 to 5 dB. Don't automatically carve it. Only do it if you hear the problem. The point is, keep the low tail short and controlled, and make the kick legible higher up. Now drum bus on the kick. Add drive somewhere around 5 to 15%. You're listening for thickness and density, not obvious distortion. Crunch is optional, usually 0 to 10% if you even need it. The big trap here is boom. Boom is fun. Boom is also how you accidentally start a low-end war with your sub. Leave boom off at first. If you turn it on, set the boom frequency near the kick fundamental, like 55 Hz, and keep the amount low, like 5 to 15%. And if the sub starts losing definition, boom goes back off. That's the rule. Now saturator. Set the mode to analog clip. Drive around 2 to 6 dB, soft clip on. Then trim the output so it matches the bypassed level. This is a huge pro habit. Don't let louder trick you into thinking it's better. We're building control, not just hype. Glue compressor next. Ratio 2 to 1. Attack 10 milliseconds. Release on auto. You only want 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction. This is just stabilizing the kick so it doesn't randomly spike or disappear when you start sacking drums. Utility last. Force mono. Either mono on or width to 0. Then set gain so your kick is solid but you still have that headroom goal. Remember, we're building a system, not a single sound. Now the sub. Create a MIDI track called SUB and load operator. Operator is perfect here because it's clean, it's stable, and it gives you envelope control that matters for groove. In operator, oscillator A, sine wave, level at 0 dB. Now your amp envelope is where you earn the pocket. Attack 0 to 3 milliseconds, decay somewhere in the 250 to 600 millisecond range depending on the rolling style. For sustain, you've got two routes. If you want more 808 style hits, set sustain to minus infinity, so it's basically the decay only note. If you're doing held notes, set sustain around minus 6 to minus 12 dB so it holds but doesn't feel like a constant fog. Release, 50 to 120 milliseconds. Long enough to avoid clicks, short enough to keep the groove breathing. If your sub is smearing into the next kick, release is one of the first places you fix it. Envelope discipline beats endless EQ hunts. Now the sub chain. Keep it simple and intentional. A Q8, saturator, optionally dynamic tube, then a compressor for side chain, then utility. A Q8 on sub, high pass at 20 to 25 HC, 24 dB per octave. Optional low pass at about 120 to 180 HC if you want the sub to stay strictly sub. This is especially helpful if you're going to run a separate mid-bass layer later. And a key coaching note here, decide who owns 45 to 70 HC before you start mixing. If you want old-school thump, where the kick feels like the weight, then keep the sub clean and let it translate through harmonics rather than trying to outmuscle the kick fundamental. If you want modern roller weight, where the sub is the floor, then shorten the kick's deepest octave and let the kick's identity live more in 100 to 200 HC plus a little 2 to 4K definition. Now add saturator on the sub. Mode, soft sign or analog clip. Drive 1 to 5 dB. Soft clip on. You're not trying to turn your sign into a res. You're just adding a little second and third harmonic so the bass is still audible on small speakers. And here's another pro move. If saturation creates too much bark around 150 to 250 HC, don't fight the saturator knob forever. Put an EQ after the saturator and trim that region. That gives you targeted harmonics, not a guessing game. Utility on sub. Mono on. No debate. Stereo sub is a club translation nightmare. Now, the pocket. This is the heart of the lesson. Timing plus envelope plus controlled harmonics, not just slam sidechain and pray. First, micro timing. In rolling DNB, the kick often feels like it hits first and the sub blooms immediately after. So go to the SUB track and use track delay. Set it to plus 5 to plus 15 milliseconds. Start at plus 10. Loop a basic pattern and listen. The kick should read as a clean moment of impact and the sub should feel like it arrives right after, like a wave behind the punch. If the sub is exactly on grid with the kick, often it feels louder but actually reads blurrier. Delaying it slightly can make the whole low end feel louder without actually increasing level, because you're reducing collision. Now sidechain, but transparent. Put a compressor on the SUB and enable sidechain from the kick track. Ratio 4 to 1. Attack super fast, like 0.1 to 1 millisecond. Release 60 to 120 milliseconds. Threshold so you're getting about 2 to 5 dB of gain reduction per kick. Listen carefully. If you hear a whoosh or an obvious pump, your release is probably too long or your threshold is too aggressive. You want the sub to return smoothly before the next bass movement. For sparse halftime kick patterns, you can stretch release longer, like 120 to 180. For busier patterns, keep it tighter so it resets quickly. Now an advanced option. Frequency conscious ducking. If your kick has a strong fundamental around, say, 55 HZ, and you want to keep sub weight but stop the low end wrestling, you can duck only the low band of the sub instead of the full sub signal. Multiband dynamics works for this. Set the low band up to about 90 to 120 HZ and reduce that low band by 2 to 4 dB when the kick hits, while letting the upper harmonic stay more present. That's a very pro sound. Kick stays clean, and the bass still feels audible. Now we do the hidden elite step, phase and feel. First, do a quick polarity check. Put utility on either the kick or sub and try phase invert left or right, or both. If the low end suddenly gets bigger when inverted, that tells you there was cancellation happening. But don't treat polarity flip like magic. Phase is mostly time and waveform shape. So do what actually matters. Time adjustments. Try nudging the start time of the kick sample by tiny increments. I'm talking 0.1 to 1 millisecond. This is microscopic, but you'll hear the low octave lock when it's right. If you're layering kicks, align the peaks of the kick layers first before you even think about kick versus sub. Also, check the kick's real fundamental. Put spectrum on the kick. Find the strongest low peak. Maybe it's 52 HC or 55 HC. Then make sure your sub notes and the track key aren't fighting that area. DNB often feels great with fundamentals around 43 to 55 HC, but it depends on the tune. The point is, you're choosing where the power lives, not letting random samples decide for you. Now arrangement. Because a pocket that only works in a two-bar loop is not a pocket, the drop is where low end collapses if you're careless. Classic roller strategy. Kick on 1 and 3, snare or clap on 2 and 4. Hats doing eighths or shuffled sixteenths. Let the sub follow the bass phrase, but either rest around kick hits or get ducked so those kick moments stay clean. And here's a really practical move. for the first 8 bars of the drop, simplify the sub pattern slightly. Let the ear lock in the groove. Then after bar 9 or 17, introduce more sub movement once the foundation feels inevitable. Now quick common mistakes to avoid, because they're basically the same mistakes everyone makes when they're trying to get loud. If the kick tail is too long, it overlaps the sub and kills clarity. Fix it at the source. Shorten the sample, fade it, or choose a tighter kick. If you overuse drum bus boom, it sounds huge solo but messy in the mix. Be suspicious of anything that only sounds good in solo. If you rely on sidechain only and ignore timing, the low end still feels flammy. Micro delay and note nudging are part of the pocket. If the sub is too clean, it disappears on small speakers. Add subtle saturation for harmonics. If the sub is stereo, it will wobble and vanish in clubs. Keep it mono below about 120 Hz. And if you overcompress the kick, you kill the transient that defines the pocket. No transient, no impact, no groove. Now let's do a focused practice exercise. This is where you actually internalize the difference between sounds heavy and is controlled. Create a 2-bar loop at 174 BPM. Program kick on 1 and 3, snare on 2 and 4, hats in 8ths or shuffled 16ths. Build the kick chain, EQ 8 into drum bus into saturator into glue. Build the sub with operator and the sub chain, EQ, saturator, sidechain compressor. Set the sub track delay to plus 10 milliseconds. Set sidechain gain reduction to about 3 dB. Now export two versions. Version A, sub perfectly long grid, no track delay. Version B, sub delayed plus 10 milliseconds. Level match them. No cheating by loudness. Then listen, which one feels tighter and louder without actually being louder. That's your pocket. Now, a couple advanced upgrades you can try once the basics are working. 1. Dynamic ducking that follows the section. Automate the sidechain threshold. Lighter duck in sparse sections for more vintage roundness. Tighter duck in dense drops for modern punch. That's how you keep vintage tone without losing modern control. 2. Split duck. Duplicate your sub into two tracks. Sublow is everything under about 80 to 100 Hz. This audio version is shortened for playback.